So a few years ago, we always used to know when our next door neighbours went away for the weekend because their teenage kid had all their friends round for a party. Doesn't seem to happen now. I think the teenage kids have either got older or left home, and so we don't have that. But it was just always interesting that that happened. And we hold parties for all sorts of reasons, and we talked about some of those ones that we've been to that have been really good earlier on. But sometimes other people's parties can be really annoying, particularly when they get noisy or out of hand, and especially if you don't understand the reason for that party. And these three stories that we read in Luke 15 were told because Jesus seemed to be in the habit of having parties with what might be described as all the wrong people. Other people were shocked and annoyed by who Jesus was having parties with. They didn't understand the reasons why he was having those parties, why he was getting together with people that they thought were beneath them. And so these stories are explaining the reason for the parties. Parties that on earth were reflecting the parties in heaven. And at the heart of the problem was the people that Jesus was mixing with. We should have moved on a bit by now. So these stories are explaining part of the problem was the people Jesus was mixing with, collectively referred to as tax collectors and sinners. We have the next picture. Tax collectors were universally disliked, not just because they collected taxes, because, well, no one really likes giving away money like that, but because they were also collecting money for the hated Romans and were probably also being dishonest and collecting more than they should have done. So tax collectors were definitely a hated part of society. And then other people that are described in the Gospels as sinners. And it's really difficult to understand all the time what was meant by that. People disagree on who precisely those people were. And some people think they were just simply the people who were too poor or too uneducated to know the Jewish law properly or how to keep it. But whoever they were, the Jewish leaders looked down on them and would have nothing to do with them. Jesus, on the other hand, loved their company, and they wanted to be with him. As we read, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering on grounds. They were choosing to spend time with Jesus. They really wanted to be with him. And so Jesus told these three stories, and how do they all end? Well, with a party. The shepherd invites his friends to celebrate the fact that his sheep had been found. The woman invited her friends to celebrate the fact that she'd found her missing coin. And the father holds a party when his son comes home. One, we're told, had food, music and dancing. And the point of these stories is then quite clear, as the punchline of those first two stories tells us. Heaven is having a party, the angels are joining in, and if we're not joining in as well, then we're out of touch with what is really going on. And sort of in Jewish thinking, the two halves of God's creation, heaven and earth, were designed to fit together and be in harmony with one another. So if you discover what's going on in heaven, you'll discover how things are meant to be on earth. That's why we pray that God's kingdom will come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to happen on earth what is happening in heaven. But for these Pharisees and other Jewish legal experts, the one that were looking down on Jesus for mixing with tax collectors and sinners, they thought the closest you could get to heaven was being in the temple. But of course you could only go into the temple if you were living lives that were completely pure and holy and keeping all the strict rules which had been laid down. But what Jesus was saying is, no, heaven is having a great noisy party. Now, I've no idea what a party in heaven looks like, so this is just the picture that I've got to illustrate it. But there is a great noisy party going on in heaven every time a sinner sees the light and begins to follow God's way. So if people on earth wanted to copy the life of heaven, they'd have a party too. And that's what Jesus was doing. He could see that people's lives were turning around and being changed, and he wanted to celebrate with them. The story of the lost sheep is a lovely one to read to children. And I remember it being a favourite when our two were small. The version we had gave the sheep a name. I think it was Henry. And in some children's versions, the sheep that went missing was made out to be special in some way. This was a special sheep that had gone missing. But the whole point of the story is not that the sheep was special or different in any way from the rest of the sheep. He was just the one that went missing and had to be found. And that was so important for those tax collectors and sinners, the people who were looked down on by so many other people. And it's important for us as well. Nobody has to earn God's love. We don't have to be clever or rich or good-looking or talented or have the right background to be loved by God. He loves us whoever we are. And the Good Shepherd will come looking for us, whoever we are, and whatever we think of ourselves, or whatever other people think of us. And if we want him to, he will rescue us from the mess we have made of our lives, or sometimes from the mess which other people have made of our lives, and then celebrate the fact that he's found us and rescued us. That doesn't mean there's nothing for us to do. The heavenly party is over people who have repented. Now, the Jewish leaders thought that repentance was all about keeping all their rules and adopting their high standards of purity. But for Jesus, repentance is about changing. It's changing from wanting to go your own way to choosing to follow him and his way. And when somebody makes that decision, repents, says sorry for going their own way, and chooses to follow Jesus in going his way, that's when heaven starts celebrating, and so should we, as I'm sure we often do when we discover that somebody has changed and started to follow Jesus. But in his commentary on this chapter, the theologian Tom Wright asks this question. The real challenge of these parables for today's church is, what would we have to do in the visible public world if we were to make people ask the questions to which stories like these are the answer? What might today's Christians do that would make people ask, why are you doing something like that? And give us the chance to tell stories about finding something that was lost. I know it's a long question, but it's boiling down to, what is it that we can be doing, or we are already doing, out there in the places we live and work, that would make people stop and think, why are you doing that? And give us the opportunity to explain about Jesus. So just what I want you to do is just, again, in small groups where you are, or if you don't want to talk with anybody else, just sit and think about this yourself. Just think about, what are the things that we as a church are already doing that might be helping people to ask those questions, why are you doing that? Or maybe things that you are doing that you know that have meant people have said to you, why are you doing that? Or maybe things that you could be doing, or we as a church could be doing, that will mean people will ask us why we're doing that and give us the opportunity to talk about Jesus. So just a couple of minutes where you're sitting, have a chat with people about that. This is not one of those things I'm going to ask for some feedback. I just think it's something that is good for us always to be reflecting on. What is my life saying to people around me? Is it the sort of life that people will want to say, well, why are you different? Why have you gone out of your way to do something like that? I just want to finish by reading from a book that's called Through Martha's Eyes. It's a sort of imaginary thinking of what Martha, as in Martha and Mary, was like, sort of imagining some of her backstory, taking what we know about her in the Gospels and just putting together her story. And it just happened that this morning I was reading the passage where it was Palm Sunday. And I thought this passage actually quite links the Palm Sunday bit of our service with the bit that we've talked about Jesus caring for everybody and that all people that he is there for all people. So I just want to read you what Martha might have thought about on Palm Sunday. As the city came into view over the brow, so she's going, as the donkey was coming from Bethany, and she's walking down into Jerusalem. As the city came into view over the brow of the Mount of Olives, the memory of the first time I had seen the temple flitted through my mind again. Then I had been seated on the shoulders of my father, but this time I was carried along by a large crowd as we walked alongside Jesus seated on a donkey. The crowd was not only made up of those who came with us from Bethany, including those who had traveled south with Jesus. Many had also come out from the city to meet us. Voices began to sing and shout out around me, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Other voices joyfully answered, "Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." And my sister, brother, and I added our own cries, "Hosanna to the Son of David." As the name of my childhood hero, David, passed my lips, I remembered how I had imagined God's promised king arriving in Jerusalem on a war horse clothed in shining armor and surrounded by his victorious army. But here was Jesus, humbly riding a common beast of burden over cloaks and branches being laid in his path, clothed no differently from everyone else. He was followed and cheered on, not by troops, but by the strange and varied band of men and women who followed him with such passion. Among the 12, Simon the Zealot, who had previously despised and opposed the Romans, was now rubbing shoulders with Matthew, a tax collector who had collaborated with them. The rich were in the crowd, but so were the poor. There were those whose families held influence, like Joanna, whose husband worked for Herod, and those who had none. I saw those esteemed by others, and those who were considered outcasts. It was Jesus, and only Jesus, who had drawn us all together. He was not the king I had expected, but he was the king we needed. One who was there for all, whatever their background, and who wielded absolute power with love and grace. "Hosanna to the Son of David," I cried out once more, believing, as we all did, that the reign of the true King and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth was about to come to pass. Jesus, the one whom we need, the one who is there for all of us, whoever we are, whatever our background, the one whose love we need to share with those who have yet to discover and experience it for themselves. Let us pray. And there is a response to this prayer that's coming up on the screen. So when I say Lord of life, you can join in with "Hear our prayer." Loving God, we thank you for all that you have done for us in Christ. We thank you for finding us when we were lost, for giving us a new dimension to our lives, a hope and a purpose, and the resources to meet whatever challenges we may face. So, Lord of life, hear our prayer. We thank you that through faith we are able to glimpse things as yet unseen, that we are part of your great company, of your people in heaven and on earth, that we are pilgrims together in a journey of discovery, that we are in Christ. Lord of life, hear our prayer. But we thank you also that you have given us life in this world, that you have called us to serve you in a particular place and time, that we are Christians here in Wallingford and the surrounding villages. We thank you for all that this town has to offer, for all the ways in which we are part of it, and for all the people who live or work here. Help us to work out our faith in this place, offering service to the community in which we are placed, making the gospel real in our activities, our relationships, and our attitudes. Lord of life, hear our prayer. Living God, in all that we do as individuals and as a church, may we be working to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth, in Wallingford, in Cholsey, Benson, Brightwell, Woodcote, Cromarsh Gifford, Shillingford, Blueberry, East Hagbourne, Goring, North Stoke, North Morton, Childgrove, Didcot, or wherever we live, on earth as in heaven. Lord of life, hear our prayer. Help us to truly be in Christ in the places we live and work, to the glory of your name. Amen.